Hey, you guys, we got to tell you about Brez Coffee Company.
Made by gamers, for gamers, right here on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida.
No matter what your tastes in coffee are, they got you covered. You like light or medium roasts? Try the Necro Medium, Holy Grail Light, or Stamina Boost. I like the ICAST Fireball mixed flavor, which is a fireball whiskey flavor.
If you like dark roasts like I do, then try the Critical Dark or the Coup Slayer Mocha Roast.
Can't decide what you need for those all-night gaming sessions? Why don't you try one of their specialty sample packs?
All roasts are made with fair trade Colombian beans.
So stop buying that crappy coffee from the grocery store and head over to BrezCoffeeCo.com. That's BrezCoffeeCo.com and enter the code NCR at checkout for 10% off your order. Amazing! Do you like this show and you want to help support us? Do you want extra episodes every month? Do you want ad-free versions of the show? Then you should sign up over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro, and you'll get your very own RSS feed to put into whatever your podcatcher of choice is, and you'll be first in line for all extra content. So head on over and become a Patreon supporter of this very show.
Programs and welcome to another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Derek Diamond, and for this week's show, you'll be seeing the video and hearing the audio from our panel at Pensacon 2021, which seems like yesterday, but it was already a couple of weeks ago. Time just keeps flying by. This year's honestly flown by. I mean, next thing you know, it's going to be halfway over. We're in June, so it's nuts. But this panel was a lot of fun to do. Consists of myself, Jason Robbins, and Wally Phelps. And we talk about what the digital revolution means for the world of retro gaming. So it was a really fun discussion to have. And it actually, in a way, led into the show becoming a reality. So it was a really fun discussion to have. And I'll give you guys a heads up. There was a little bit of technical difficulties with the recording. So you'll be hearing the audio from the camera as opposed to what was recorded directly into their sound system. So honestly, I don't know what happened with the recording. I went back and listened to it, and there was nothing but dead air, even though I tested it beforehand and everything seemed to be working. So I do apologize for that. But before we dive into the panel itself, I want to give a shout out to our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out Armez Jackson, Axblade07, Daniel Salmon, John Jekyll, a.k.a. Mixmaster, Carlos Longoria, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Randy Bailey, Tyler Watson, Brandon Rutledge, Donner Party of Five, Gus and Penny, Jason May, Matthew Salmon, and Justin Olson. Thank you guys so much for your continued contributions to the Nerd Cave Retro Show. And if you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro for ad-free versions of this show. If you want to vote on show topics, vote on our monthly commentary tracks that we do, you'll have the ability to do that. So just head on over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And without further ado, here is our panel from Pensacon 2021. Greetings, programs, and welcome to a special live edition of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. I am one of the co-hosts of the Nerd Cave Retro podcast, Derek Diamond.
I'm Jason Robbins.
And I'm Wally Phelps, and I don't belong here.
he's our official fact checker, and he's here live fact checking us in real time.
So one of us says something wrong, it gets out, it's Wally's fault.
That's not true.
So we're here, and I thought this would actually be a really cool topic to talk about, because in a way it ties into how our show started. What the digital revolution means for the world of retro gaming. Three of us grew up playing video games throughout the 80s and 90s, really what I call the golden age of Nintendo.
Yeah.
In thinking about it, seeing all the digital aspects of it, of gaming now, and I've embraced
a lot of those qualities. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time I bought a physical game, but I feel like physical game collecting has become kind of a thing, and really it's ultimately you getting back into collecting NES games that sparked the genesis of this podcast.
Yeah, you know, because I was a huge fan of the Atari when I was a little kid, and then, of course, the Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and I never got rid of them, always had them, and then around 2015 just really sparked my interest in actually collecting all the stuff, and of course now it's getting too expensive to find. You can't find anything in the wild anymore. You have to get everything off eBay and stuff like that. So yeah, that was the genesis of the podcast, was me getting back into retro gaming.
I'm curious, Wally, because I don't think I've ever actually asked you, what was it that sparked your initial interest in video games when you were younger?
In video games, period?
Yes.
My parents bought an Atari. It was Donkey Kong, really, was my introduction into video games. It was a simple concept. There was this, what was supposed to be a gorilla, throwing barrels at me. And I don't know, as a three-year-old child, I was excited by this idea. It's like, I wasn't just watching this cartoon, I was playing. And it just got more intensified from there whenever I went to the arcade and saw those types of things. The graphics were so much better than that Atari I was used to. So I think that's really what kicked it off, is that my parents really enjoyed video games too.
Yeah, that was the thing with my parents. Really loved the Atari once the Nintendo came around. They were out at that point. And, I still remember getting the Atari for Christmas 1983. And like you said, Donkey Kong was probably the best game for that system. They only had about five good games.
Right.
Those were garbage. Right. And like you said, the arcade was so much better than the home version of stuff. So when the Nintendo came around, it was like that was the, you know, as closest thing you could get to actual arcade games at home.
Yeah, because I didn't grow up around an arcade. You know, I don't think I went to an arcade for the first time until I was like maybe 8 or 9. We had one in what used to be University Mall here that I would go in every now and then, but for the most part just stuck with, you know, the original Nintendo, and then Super Nintendo was the first console I ever owned. And that was really what sparked my love of video games.
Yeah, it's over the last, you know, 15 years or so, it's gotten to we're getting to the point where physical games are no longer a thing. I mean, you can still buy physical games, but if you're into collecting, it's really hard to do nowadays. And the thing that scares me about the new digital stuff is you don't really own it. You're basically renting it, DRM or whatever, from the companies, and what happens if that company goes under or whatever, you know. And a lot of stuff too, like you play a lot of Fortnite.
Yes.
Like, that's, I don't think that's going to be something that's going to be around in like 10, 15 years.
It's already been around for 10.
Yeah, but it's not something that, like, once though, because it's such an online thing, and that's the huge thing now is all the online stuff. What are they called? Battle royales and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, what do you do when no one else is playing it anymore?
Well, okay, so when it comes to that kind of thing, as far as the games as a service situation.
Yeah, that's what I mean, games as a service.
It's a lot like TV now, where they are constantly updating and innovating the game to make it interesting through seasons. So one season has this theme, like last season was hunters. So all of these different hunters from outside of the epic universe, like the Predator, the Alien, Ellen Ripley, all of these different characters from pop culture were brought into the game. And you were supposed to be essentially hunting people for bounties. You could be John Wick. That was really cool.
Yeah.
And this season is now Primal, where they added animals. So now you could be shooting at somebody, and I don't know where a raptor tries to kill you. So, you know, it's every season is different. Every season has its pros and cons, and it just keeps up interest like that. So,
but isn't that sustainable?
I think so, because that isn't that what Activision does anyway with Call of Duty, and that's been going on for 20 years?
Yeah, but Call of Duty also has a campaign that you can replay over and over again 10, 15, 20 years from now when no one else is playing.
But who's playing the campaign of a Call of Duty game more than once?
I don't know.
It's not Halo.
Yeah, yes, very true.
But the thing with Fortnite, I think, is that it's the biggest game to have over 6 million concurrent players like at one time playing consistently every day. So I agree with you that, you know, I think this is a different beast altogether than something like the Scott Pilgrim versus the World game, for example,
yeah,
where it was only online, and then they lost the license to it, and now the game is no longer available.
You can't get it. Well, you can get it now.
Yeah, they re-licensed it, but you know, that's what I meant, like, as far as...
But that's kind of a point I'm getting to, like, because there's a lot of games that were released in the 90s, a lot of arcade games, like you look at Aliens vs. the Predator, the arcade game. There's nowhere to purchase, like, because Nintendo hates...
They hate money.
They hate money, and they hate when people download ROMs, which I play a lot of ROMs on an emulator, because you can't get them anywhere. So
right.
What are we going to do in the future? Like, Nintendo say they all have to get together somehow and say, look, the only way we're going to be able to have people be able to play these games... All these companies, like all this licensed stuff, they have to work something out to where it's like they can have some sort of online library where you can play these things, you know, indefinitely.
The way I look at it is that's never going to happen as long as they're all selling their own hardware. Because the reason why you're not seeing all of these different companies working together in this way is because Nintendo has a Switch to sell you, and we don't want Sony games on our Switch, and vice versa. And that's why crossplay was so contentious for the longest time. It's happening now because of consumer demand, but I don't see it getting to a point where everybody's going to be able to play everything on everything. Because an interesting piece of information that just happened now is Microsoft purchased Bethesda, and they have a game that's coming out called Starlink, I believe it is. And they literally 2 days ago announced, oh, by the way, this game's going to only be on Xbox and PC. Because we are Xbox. We're not going to let Sony and Nintendo have this game.
But also, Sony shoots themselves in the foot, too, because just recently, the head of Sony PlayStation didn't want any sort of backwards compatibility all the way back to the PS1, because his philosophy is, who wants to play old PS1, PS2 games? Well,
most
I do.
Yeah, I'm just taking that PlayStation 1, because those games are ugly.
Yeah, they might be ugly, but there's still people out there that never got to experience
it. Right, it's history. That's the thing. That's really the biggest thing right now is trying to... We're currently sitting in a museum. We need a way for us to be able to experience the history of video games in a legal and easy to access way. So I like your idea of just a Netflix for games type situation.
Well, there are companies that are developing things like that. We did do you remember the name of that company we did an article about a few weeks ago? It was sort of like a Plex server for video games.
Yeah, right. The name escapes me, but...
Well, and there's also the... Like, Xbox Game Pass, there's Luna, which is Amazon's streaming, game streaming. and Stadium. Only one of those things are good, but it's a start, you know. I would like for those to become more commonplace, but until we have higher data caps or no data caps on our home internet services and less latency across the country, yeah. I don't think it would be such a good idea, because I have Stadium. And the problems I have with it are it is really, you ever play a Nintendo game where you press the button and it takes two seconds for it to happen?
Yeah.
That happens on Stadium if you have a bad connection. Another thing that happens on Stadium that I don't like is the fact that the store is terrible, but that's their fault.
That's the same thing with Nintendo. I don't know if anybody else here has a Nintendo Switch. That online store is horrible.
Right.
It's terrible.
You think they released a great set of games a couple of days ago, and I couldn't tell you the name of a single one of them.
And that's what me and Wally were talking about on our last show, is why at this point, it's been, 2 years they've been releasing Nintendo and Super Nintendo games, and Earthbound is still not being released. And that's a Nintendo property, and there's no way to get it. Why are they?
Isn't it on the Wii?
It was on the Wii, yeah.
The Nintendo Mini.
It was on the SNES Classic.
Yeah.
The Classic, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't you think that they already had it emulated at this point?
Yes.
I don't know what they're doing.
I guess that's what I don't understand, is Nintendo of all companies is sitting on a gold mine.
Right.
So many games for all their systems that they have not released yet. Why would they not do it?
Yeah.
Even
if it's in a consistent manner, like, oh, once a month we're going to release two big titles and maybe three smaller ones for each system. And you just do that every month. You can write that way for years.
I really believe that Nintendo has kind of a company culture problem, where the culture of the company is, let's not do the easy thing.
Yeah.
I think they're always doing basically what they think is broad strokes, grand strokes of, okay, let's innovate in such a way that no one's going to say that we're copying someone else, you know? And that does look at the Wii U, look at the Virtual Boy. But in other cases like this, it just is mind-boggling that they're not going to just release a game they already have made, because we have money that we're going to give you for the third or fourth time for this one game.
I also think that a lot of it stems from Nintendo of Japan.
Yes.
Because I don't even think they understand how the internet works yet.
Maybe.
Because think about it, a couple of years ago when they did the whole, if you're going to stream Nintendo games, then you have to be a Nintendo affiliate.
Yeah.
Or you get
copyright strikes.
You get copyright strikes on your Twitch and YouTube channels.
Yeah.
That's terrible business practice.
Honestly, I got a strike for Link to the Past.
I got a strike on my Twitch channel for DuckTales, the original NES game. Yes. And the video was taken down. A 35-year-old game at this point.
What were they, afraid of spoilers?
I guess. Probably a lot of it had to do with Disney, too, because of that music.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's a digitized version of the... Well, I guess, I don't know.
Because Disney's weird, too.
Disney is weird. They let a lot slide, but if you have, 5 seconds of John Williams music from Star Wars, you can kiss your video goodbye. Yeah.
Now I just got the DuckTales theme stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Well, hasn't it been playing since 1988?
Yeah.
Pretty much, just right here in the back of my head, every now and then
it's always there.
Yeah, it's always there in some way. A lot of those cartoons from the 80s and 90s.
And another thing, too, they did that remake a few years ago.
Yeah, the remaster.
The Xbox 360, and there's nowhere else to get it.
Nope.
Right now.
Well, here's another interesting thing that I found out. The PlayStation 4 had an update recently. where it made it to where if the battery that's inside of the system dies, it has to be connected to the internet for it to play anywhere. That includes any game that you have on disk. What? How'd that happen?
I'm just thinking of the GIF of Jon Stewart going, why?
Yeah.
Right. Why would that happen? So, I understand that whenever the PlayStation 3 came, I mean the PlayStation 4 came out, one of the big things that they made fun of Microsoft for was the fact that they were saying that you have to have an always on the internet connection in order to play. But that's basically what they did and didn't tell anybody about it. People had to figure it out on their own because people whose batteries were dying suddenly couldn't play games anymore. And it's like, what did you do? What did you do, Ray?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of leaning more Xbox this generation myself, honestly. I haven't bought a new system.
Xbox is amazing.
Well, if they keep doing what they're doing, I'm not going to get a PS5.
Yeah.
I mean, the game... Not to get too far into that.
And with the chip shortages, they might be $2,000 by the end of the year.
Well, the PlayStation 5, I think, has better games in the short term. I'm going to have both of them eventually. But the Xbox is one I can wait for because all of the games that I want to play on it, I can already play on the Xbox I own.
Yeah, I mean, you get the Game Pass for Xbox, and you can play games all the way back to the original Xbox.
Correct.
Like, Nintendo and Microsoft are already kind of buddy-buddy. Like, why not take that? I mean, yeah, they're already doing that with the Nintendo and Super Nintendo store, but even still, there's like 100 games on there, maybe 20 of them are good.
Well, not to mention you're still sitting on the libraries for the GameCube, yep. Game Boy Advance, N64. And that goes back to my original point of they're sitting on a gold mine, that they could ride this wave for years.
And all the original Pokemon games for the Game Boy.
Yeah.
Now,
Game Boy too.
All of the batteries are dying because the game itself has a clock in it that has been constantly running since, what, 1996?
Yeah, 96 is when it came out.
So, well, yeah.
There's another thing that just kind of goes to the point of why doesn't Nintendo want our money? The part of the Hunter series of Fortnite, going back to that, you could buy Master Chief as part of that to represent Xbox, and you can buy Kratos to represent PlayStation, and Nintendo was absent from this. Well, during the lawsuit that's currently going on where Epic is suing Apple, it was released that they also had plans to release Samus. And that deal fell through. Because Nintendo! What are you doing?
It's like the Mario Brothers movie just scared them from working with anybody.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's...
I mean, they're basically the Disney of the video game world. They don't want anybody to touch their stuff at all.
I don't know. Disney does work well with others because literally the Marvel Cinematic Universe was in Fortnite 3 seasons ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's totally true. So it's like, but at the same time, yes, they have the name recognition and they have the money because. But at the same time, they're not, like, Sony has sold more consoles across all generations than anybody at this point. And Nintendo is in second, but not by a whole lot. So it's like, they have a product people want, and things are going digital. Why aren't you giving people what they want, which is digital versions, like online versions, of the things that we already had at one point? Because nostalgia does sell. We do a podcast about old video games. People want to hear.
Clearly, there's a market there.
Well, I think most of Nintendo's marketplace is people our age.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say most of it, because
a good chunk. And even the younger generation, man, kids still like going back and playing Super Nintendo games.
Well, yeah. I mean,
they're just good games, whether they're old or not.
Right. And I mean, my little girl has a Switch, of course, and she does play some older games. Not a whole lot, but she plays some of them. Nintendo is one of her favorite things. I mean, the franchises might be different. You know, she's a Pokemon person. I know we weren't in the Pokemon generation. You were. But we missed that. But she loves the Pokemon game. She loves...
I mean, look at how popular Super Mario 35 was.
Oh, yeah. And then they get out of the store.
There's nowhere. You can't play it at all.
And what is the point of that?
Why?
Well, even the 3D All-Stars that just came out, that was only available for a limited time, and now you can't buy it.
Right. I have it if anybody wants to buy it for $700.
Only $700?
That's it.
Yes.
Yeah, they're just, you think of the broad reach that Nintendo could have with all their properties. Like, you look what the success that Sega had with the Sonic movie, and now there was enough buzz that there's going to be a second one. I know the Mario animated movie is coming out, and was it 2022 that Illumination's doing? Nintendo has enough appeal that they could span generations. Like, there are people younger than us who enjoy Mario games, who enjoy Zelda games. That could reintroduce them to a whole new audience. Like, you can make a Zelda series, you can make a Metroid movie, and that would create more appeal for the games. But they're not doing it.
Yeah.
This has suddenly become, Nintendo, what are you doing?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's our show.
That's our show every week. Nintendo, what are you doing? That's what we should have called it. Nintendo, what are you doing?
For next year's panel.
Just give us the things we want.
So does anybody have any questions or anything?
Any comments they want to throw out there?
Well, I mean, might it be a little unfair company towards Nintendo? I mean, wasn't a recent movie that was a smash blockbuster. I mean, isn't Nintendo maybe not going at a rate that a lot of people would prefer the older retro games would like, but can't we at least acknowledge that Nintendo is taking some baby steps towards it?
I think so, and I know since I really noticed it when the GameCube came out that Nintendo seemed to be a couple of steps behind Sony and Microsoft. Like, I feel like Nintendo is just now really getting into like online play. Like, I know it's a thing with Smash Brothers Ultimate. You can do it on Mario Kart, I believe, as well. So there are baby steps, and I hope that they do get there.
Right.
Eventually they will.
I think Detective Pikachu was a miracle because it was a Nintendo property that wasn't. It didn't feel micromanaged in the way that most Nintendo properties do. So, which gives me great hope for the future of their licensing of the properties. But when it comes to the actual video games, I don't know how.
Well, Nintendo's always been, you know, a couple steps behind everybody else, but I don't think Nintendo cares.
Well, in terms of power and,
they're more about gameplay
than
they are like the hottest graphics.
Absolutely, because they are looking for what is fun.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not looking at, we need this to be a seamless integration of blah, 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 blah. You know, they just want you to be able to put the game in and, hey, let's play Zelda.
And that's why they can resell us the same Mario games 50 times. We'll still
because they're great.
Did you have a question?
Touching on a similar thing to what he asked about the Nintendo working with other companies, do you think we're starting to see a change in that with things like Hyrule Warriors and Mario and Rabbids and those kinds of crossover combination games, and them allowing other companies to use their IPs? Do you think we're seeing the start of a change to that?
I think so. I think it goes back to what we were just talking about. Nintendo's taking baby steps.
Right.
Because I completely forgot about Mario versus Rabbids.
which you can always find on sale for like 15.
Yeah, something like that.
That's the thing about Nintendo's. No matter how old, like even now, you go to the store to buy, even on the online store, like Breath of the Wild and Odyssey, they're still $60.
Like, right.
They do not lower their price for anything because we'll pay for it. So that should tell them that, you know, we'll buy what you have, you just have to give it to us.
There's a joke that keeps happening anytime. I follow a Twitter feed where the guy shows you video games that are for sale, on sale anyway. And whenever Nintendo games go on sale, it's generally $5 or $10.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, $50 for Mario, for, you know, whatever game it is. And somebody always comments, must not have sold well. It's like, really?
I mean, you look at how popular, you know, I play Mario Kart 8 a lot online, and I love playing that stuff online, but it just, Nintendo has a very bad online presence, and they need to, I don't know.
For whatever their next console will be, that has to be one of their highest priorities, is getting their online system fixed.
Well, that's what we said last time, too.
Yeah.
That's like you.
Yeah, but
they're going to announce Metroid.
They always do the half steps. Shut up. They always do the half steps. Like, you know, the Nintendo 64 was huge. And then the GameCube didn't do that great. Wii came out, did Game Busters. And then they did the Wii U. Didn't do great. It died on the vine. But then the Switch is like sold almost as many units as the Wii. And I think it's outsold the PS4, hasn't it?
The Switch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's outsold everything.
It absolutely, yeah, everything in the last generation, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure the next console is going to be another half step that people aren't very much into.
They keep on saying that there's going to be the Switch Pro, and that's been a rumor for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And it really bothers me because, like, it's like I see the same YouTube videos. It's like, Switch Pro accidentally leaked, and this was like the same title they used 2 weeks ago. It's like, no, I don't have a Switch Pro in my hands, and it's been 2 years. You are misinformed. It might come out, but I mean, no time soon.
I don't think there's going to be a Switch Pro. I mean, we got at least another 3-4 years left on the life of the Switch. So
I'm okay with that, honestly. I like the Switch.
Me too. It's my favorite console.
I mean, I haven't touched it in over 2 months, but yeah.
It's because you're crazy and you play Fortnite way too much.
On my PlayStation 5. those rays, they're traced so well.
I don't need ray tracing.
Obviously.
But that does bring up a good point. I know we've been bashing Nintendo quite a bit, but I will say this. There is nothing like a Nintendo game compared to like a PS4 or an Xbox One game or whatever other console you want to talk about.
Yeah.
When I play a Nintendo game, there's just that certain element, that certain charm that they have that keeps pulling us in, and you're like, this is why we love Nintendo. And it's not that we hate Nintendo, because we just know that they can do so much better.
Yeah. Well, all those games are just infinitely replayable. Like, I could play, I have a bunch of PS4 games, like, and I play through them once, and I'm done. But with Nintendo, like, I can play Odyssey over and over again. I can play Breath of the Wild over and over again. And then they don't get old. You know, and I can leave it. If it does get old, leave it for a little while, come back a few months later, and it's fresh again.
And even going back and playing, like, Link to the Past, or Super Mario World, Mario.
How many times have me and you combined played and finished Link to the Past?
Oh my god. I don't even have any idea.
It's got, I mean, at least dozens for me over the last, what was that, 30 years ago now, holy crap.
Yeah.
We're talking about 1990, it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was. Sure.
I just keep telling myself that.
Yeah.
No,
he's had his hand up for a while.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
This is more relevant to old probably old DOS-based games, but do you see any way forward where at some point we'll be able to legally play games where the original publisher has gone out of business?
Well, you can do that with, have you ever gone to like Good Old Games, or you can get a lot of that stuff on Steam too. A lot of those old DOS-based games and things like that.
And some of them are trickling in. There's some of them where they can't even find out who the original copyright
was.
I know that's a tough one. I mean, it's a possibility. There's real no way of knowing, but with as many hobbyists and people who are trying to preserve the history of video games that are out right now, there's a possibility where somebody is going to be able to go in and do the research they need to do to make that happen. So I do see that as a real possibility because of the people like us who are passionate about the preservation of the history of video games. So, I mean,
there are people that are very hardcore about video game preservation. And, you know, recently, how many games have been just found, you know?
Right.
Oh, dozens.
I mean, recently we read a story about, I don't remember what game it was, but the guy found a disc with an unreleased, it was the beta version of some game that got canceled back in the 90s, and he found it on a disc under some pallets.
Yeah.
And underneath a tree behind this business. And then, you know, a lot of people worry when stuff like that happens because you get the wrong person who's going to find something like that and then just immediately try to sell it on eBay for like $3 million or whatever instead of saying, hey, this is a part of video game history. We should probably dump this ROM and, you know, give this or donate this disc to someone that can, you know, keep it preserved.
I mean, I wouldn't. If I did have something like that happen, I would definitely get it to somebody who would be able to dump the ROM.
Yeah.
And then I would sell it for $3 million.
And you were talking about like the DOS-based games, but you know what about all those like old games that were, you know, the MUDs that were written in BASIC? Like that's a dead computer language. There aren't too many people left in the world who can, you know, can use BASIC. Like that's. Some of those games are just going to be lost to time.
I mean, I know BASIC.
What, you work at Radio Shack or something?
No, I took BASIC in school, you monster. I'm an old man.
or even the little handheld games of the 70s and 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger Electronics is re-releasing a bunch of old 80s and 90s handheld games like The Little Mermaid and Mortal Kombat and things like that. They're still terrible, but you know, that's cool that they
exist. But they're fun though. Like that was my Game Boy for
right.
It was those little terrible Tiger LED games.
Right. I mean, and that's and there are defunct systems that you can't find anything for, like the GameCom or the ARC type or whatever that was called, or the Fairchild.
Yeah.
So
God, I haven't heard the name Fairchild.
Right. So, you know, a lot of people don't even realize they exist. How are we going to play those games?
You look at things like the Vectrex. Mm-hmm. Like, how many of those are still functioning right now in the world? Like, that stuff's got to be put into, like, under glass in a museum to preserve it for, you know, 100 years from now. People be like, oh, this is what video games used to be.
And the only thing that you could really do with a Vectrex is, you know, try to emulate the experience in a different way because there was a hardware component to that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, there's only one way to experience a Vectrex.
Exactly.
With a Vectrex.
With a Vectrex. Yes, sir.
So, you were mentioning earlier about the Pokemon games and the batteries that are dying, and then you have old Super Nintendo carts, any carts really that have the same issue with the battery life and the preservation of your save files. With the ease of emulation that's out there and the fact that some of these companies are officially, you know, marketing these older titles back to the consumer through the classic consoles, what is the ethical responsibility of gamers regarding emulation, and how do you balance that with preserving some of those games? Maybe if they didn't decide to curate those, but you still want to preserve the play with that, And then especially when you have to take into consideration some of these companies are going back now and editing those original files when they're re-releasing them digitally, not just through balancing, but, you know, like for political reasons, you have some of the older fighting games where they're, Japan's removing the Rising Sun imagery. So how do you kind of balance that?
Well, the way I look at it, I mean, when you have games like one of the games I mentioned earlier, like Aliens vs. Predator, a game like that that isn't available anywhere, and you want to experience that game, I don't see any, I mean, I know it's illegal to download the ROM, but when it comes down to it, you're sitting in a courtroom, you know, Capcom or whatever, suing you for downloading a game, which I don't think is going to happen. I mean, the only thing you can say is, like, I don't have any other way to play this. Like, what do you think we're going to do? I mean,
this goes back to what we were saying earlier. There should be, if Nintendo and other companies can't stand the fact that there are ROMs out there of other games, yeah, then come up with a way for us to play them.
Exactly.
Because we will pay for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at, like, the original Legend of Zelda carts. You know, those batteries were only meant to last, like, 20 years. And here we are 35 years later. I don't, my cards still work, but I know one day I'm going to put that card in and that save file is going to be corrupted. I mean, batteries only last so long, so the fact that, you know, they put, you know, Legend of Zelda in the Nintendo shop on the Switch, like, keep doing that stuff, especially for those old games, because, you know, those batteries weren't meant to last. Same with VHS tapes. You know, VHS tapes aren't meant to last. There's a lot of VHS tapes that break down now. Like, you know, I still collect VHS tapes, and I still have some from when I was a kid. You know, you go to watch that stuff in a VCR, and, you know, the tapes start to stretch and, like, you know, start to break down. So we just gotta get faster at, you know, digitally preserving things, because that's what, you know, 100 years from now, there's not gonna be any analog stuff left.
Well, I think even if it's not for the monetary purposes, even for preserving it, like we've talked about a video game museum, just having it there so that it survives. Because if it's not digitally preserved, eventually, like you said, VHS tapes wear out, cartridges wear out, and then it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's a record. Records can last hundreds of years if taken care of properly. We just have to start properly taking care of all the analog things that, you know, our generation, you know, the Gen Xers and the Millennials, like, we had so much cool pop culture, like, we were the pop culture generation, so, you know, we have so much preservation to do. It's like, it's our responsibility to make sure this stuff gets preserved for, you know, future generations to experience.
I think there should be like a Library of Congress type situation.
Yes.
Where, you know, and the whole reason why that whole thing started is because of the fact that film used to be so volatile and difficult to store.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, this is culturally important. We need a copy of it here. And I think the same thing needs, the same care and attention needs to be given to these unavailable titles that are out there. And anything that would require a battery or something of that nature, then there needs to be a way for them to be able to make it available, but also to archive it in a way that we will always have it.
Yeah, I mean, video games were looked at as, you know, kids' things when I was a kid, but video games are a part of our lives, a part of our culture, you know, and we have to have some sort of, like you said, Library of Congress type of thing.
And it goes far outside of just video games. Video games has touched the pop culture zeitgeist in so many different ways that you wouldn't even believe. I mean, a good example of that is Disneyland actually just announced some information about their upcoming Spider-Man attraction. There's DLC that you can purchase to make the game easier that they're gonna have inside their Spider-Man attraction.
Thanks, EA.
Right. But, so it's like, without these, This is the first theme park attraction with microtransactions.
Great.
And I'm like, wow.
We're maybe a couple more years away from that. But
yeah,
no, it's here. It's here. We're coming up on the end of our panel. Is there any last minute questions that you guys want to throw out there?
All right. First of all, none of you mentioned the virtual boy, so I take offense to that.
I did so, didn't I?
Well, I didn't mention the virtual boy.
You just weren't listening.
I apologize.
But,
and all seven games.
You know, growing up as a kid, you know, it was always fun to walk into your room. You know, my first system was a ColecoVision, then I had an NES, to see the cartridges on your shelf and then, you know, plug it in, start it up. Now, today's gamers are missing that aspect. Do you think today's gamers are missing something by not having a physical item to plug into a machine to play? Because I know the experience is the same kind of playing a video game, but they don't actually have the media other than, you know, the download that they just made, you know, $200 from the mom's credit card.
I mean, that's definitely something that, you know, growing up, that was to have that new Nintendo game or whatever and opening that box and, you know, pulling out, smelling the, you know, the plastic. Like, that's just an experience, I think. I don't think kids are going to get that experience anymore. So.
Yeah, I mean, very, no.
Something special about that, you know, getting that, finally saving up enough allowance to go get Super Mario Brothers 3. You're like, it's mine.
Or having the disappointment of going to Kmart or Walmart and then being sold out of the cartridge.
Yeah.
Cool. I think we're out of time, better, but is it quick?
It's a quick question. So, do you think it's our responsibility as people who are enthusiastic about preserving video games to bring more attention to the, how we're talking about, like, the backtracks and all those? Like, as somebody who's part of the more modern generation, people who I'm friends with never heard of things like Zor or, like, those old tech tricks. Do you think it's very important to bring attention so they're more likely to? Like, even my gamer friends haven't heard of it, some of the really old tech space
and
those guys.
Honestly, I think what we need to have, like, the Video Game Hall of Fame, like, you know, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, like a physical museum you can visit and see all this old stuff. That's, I don't know who's got the money to do that. I certainly don't.
No. Nope. I think we'll see it one day. Hopefully so.
But that's our time. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you all so much for coming out.
So hopefully you guys enjoyed that fun panel from Pensacon. I know we had a lot of fun looking back on, you know, old games that we played back when we were kids and really what the future of gaming could be. It's always for fun discussion. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. For next week's show, we'll be back to our normal format and we'll be back live Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Time at twitch.tv/jfunktastic. And that's really going to do it for this week's show. I'm not sure what Jason's going to be reviewing for next week, but I'm sure it will be fun. We'll be discussing the weekend news, this month in video game history, and Jason will be reviewing a game of his choice. So I'm going to get out of here, but if you want to follow the show, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdcaveretro. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at nerdcaveretro, at jfunktastic, and at derek_diamond. Check out our website at nerdcaveretro.com. If you want to email us a news article, I know that a lot of you guys have been doing that over the past several weeks, which we very much appreciate. Shoot us an email at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Visit our merch site at ncrmerch.com. And of course, we're on Patreon at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And if you can't commit to our Patreon, then leave us a review wherever fine podcasts are given away for free. So may the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.